I'm Jane Lindholm. This is Vermont Edition. My favorite story in Frog and Toad Together is Cookies. Let me summarize for you in case you have not read this book to a small child in many years or have not had a small child read it very slowly to you. Toad has baked some cookies. He takes them to Frog's house, and the two best friends cannot stop eating them. In an attempt to stop, they put the cookies in a box, tie the box in string, climb a ladder, and place the box high up in a closet. But still, they cannot stop themselves from eating these cookies. So Frog takes the cookies and throws them outside for the birds, at which point Toad, shocked and dismayed, goes home to bake himself a cake. Frog and Toad are the most famous and beloved creations of the children's author and illustrator Arnold Lobel, but it turns out Frog and Toad may not have been simply asexual amphibious friends. Colin Stokes is on the editorial staff of The New Yorker magazine. In the latest issue of the magazine, he wrote about the possible connection between Lobel's sexuality and his characters. Colin, welcome to Vermont Edition. What a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's been reported that Arnold Lobel was actually inspired in his creation of these characters by summers he spent in Vermont. Thus, we can talk about this story on Vermont Edition. Remind us of why these characters are really seared into the brains of so many parents and so many now adult children.
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. I just remember the humor of the books to be completely hilarious. I still, when I read through the books, I'm thinking particularly of the cookies I found to be very, very funny. And also there's a summer appropriate one about ice cream in which Toad gets completely covered in two big cones of ice cream that he's bringing to Frog and appears to be a monster that scares all of the animals in the pond. But I think that the humor is very very strong and sort of and sweet and simple. And I think also a main part is that they have a really touching and loving relationship.
Yes, these are two friends, and they're together in four books. In fact, you know, Frog and Toad Together is one of the books. Frog and Toad Are Friends, Frog and Toad All Year. And these books were published between 1970 and 1979. Tell us a little bit about Arnold Lobel, what he was like.
So I from my conversations with his daughter, he sounds like an extremely sweet and intelligent man. I think she told me a really wonderful story about how he they were on a road trip together as a family, and she was in the back of the car with her young brother, and they were having a fight, and she said that he recited a story to them that he'd just written in his head, which was actually I think Martha the Movie Mouse, which is a book that he later published.
Is in verse. I mean, this is not just a story that he's sort of making up the words as he goes along.
Yes, which is absolutely incredible. And as somebody who writes makes me extremely envious, to be honest. I wish that I were able to do something like that. And she's sort of another wonderful story that she told me was about how he would so he would draw in the day, and he would in the evening he would write, and she still has his notebooks from when he was writing, and looking through them, that there's almost no edits or no corrections to the original way in which he wrote things out. So these stories often just came almost fully formed, which is really quite something.
And it was his daughter, right, who actually made many of these books in color. His drawings were pen and ink or graphite, just black and white.
So the original, there are a couple of them that were published for the first time in around 2009, I believe, that she colored, but the original set, I think, did come in color. Although it is an interesting, she was telling me about how back in the day, the way in which one made color as an artist and was quite laborious. So you were only able to, you only got a set of colors, a very restricted number of colors, and you had to just paint them in as sort of densities in gray. So you never really knew what a book was going to look like until it was printed, which sounds terrifying as well.
I'm speaking with Colin Stokes. He's the author of an article in the New Yorker magazine called Frog and Toad, An Amphibious Celebration of Same-Sex Love. Now, Arnold Lobel married a woman named Anita Kempler, and as you mentioned, they had children together. And then he came out to his family in 1974. What made you draw the connection between Lobel's sexuality and the characters of Frog and Toad?
Well, I was sort of, it seems they do have a very close relationship. They're two amphibians of the same sex. Really, it was my conversation with Adrian that sort of highlighted the connection. She said that she thinks it was really the beginning of him coming out,
creating these characters was, you think, the beginning of him coming out?
The series Frog and Toad was the beginning of him coming out, and it's there are other places I think in which he's sort of talked about how Frog and Toad was the first time he felt like he was writing about himself, and that he would sort of put draw from his own personal experience and put his personal experiences into books, into his children's books. And so I think it's a not unreasonable conclusion to arrive at.
You know, this is not the first time that questions have been raised about two intimate friends who are prominent in children's lives and share the same gender or have what adults might think of as sort of an intriguing or an ambiguous setup. And of course, thinking of Bert and Ernie, the most famous examples. Now, the Sesame Workshop has said basically they're not gay, they're not straight, they're puppets. It doesn't matter. So is this just sort of gossip for adults like, ooh, Frog and Toad, maybe they represent gay characters? Or does it matter if Lobel was intending his characters to represent something more than just platonic friendship?
It's an interesting question. I think that it's very important to be able to be open to readings like that, in which I think that often people will reject those readings because they're uncomfortable with the notion of homosexuality, which and I think that is distressing, obviously. So I think that firstly, it's important to be open to that kind of reading, even if it's, you know, not necessarily my familiarity with the response about Bert and Ernie is not what it could be. But I think it's important to be open to that reading, and also I think that it's the fact that there is this biographical detail for Lobel makes it more convincing. They were written around the time when he was sort of coming to terms with his sexuality.
So in a way, it's sort of a normalization, even within children's literature, that even if it's not the focus, not explicit, kids might see their families or their feelings sort of portrayed in these stories in a way that's just out there.
Yeah, I think so. I've been getting a lot of really wonderful responses on Twitter and emails from friends, and I think one of the threads that I've come across is that people saying now it makes sense how much I liked these books because it sort of was an early relationship that I could understand that I actually would want later down the line. And that was, I think that's very important for children to have that as a normal thing, to see that same-sex relationships are very normal.
Colin Stokes is on the editorial staff of The New Yorker. His article is Frog and Toad, an Amphibious Celebration of Same-Sex Love. Colin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.